Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Brian Main for that introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a statement that was posted in December of 2013, a statement posted on the LDS.org website titled Plural Marriage and Families in Early Utah. There's a lot of interesting statements in this that we feel it's necessary to kind of go over and explain and comment on, because sometimes, even though it appears that the Mormon Church is admitting a lot of things that it really has not admitted publicly that we know of in the past, that still is not giving all the facts. There's a lot of things that can be said about some of the statements that are made on here. Yesterday, we were talking about the fact that the statement says that Latter-day Saints do not understand all of God's purposes for instituting, through his prophets, the practice of plural marriage during the 19th century. And as we were mentioning yesterday, the key word there, of course, is all. Latter-day Saints do not understand all of God's purposes. You could say that just about anything, really. Yeah. Who understands all of anything, especially the mind and will of God, whatever you might think that could be?
But as we talked about yesterday, Bill, how so many quotes we can go back to of these 19th century leaders, and they seem to have no doubts about the importance of it. This was dealing with exaltation, and unless a person was going to want to get exalted, he was going to have to participate in polygamy. Brigham Young said in 1862 in Journal of Discourses, Volume 9, page 322, "Why do we believe in and practice polygamy? Because the Lord introduced it to his servants in revelations given to Joseph Smith, and the Lord's servants have always practiced it. And is that religion popular in heaven? It is the only popular religion there, for this is the religion of Abraham, and unless we do the works of Abraham, we are not Abraham's seed and heirs according to promise." Straightforward, simple with Brigham Young. Abraham did it. It's been instituted by heaven itself. Therefore, I'm going to do it.
It's practiced in heaven. See, this statement here, I wonder if I was to ask a general authority in the Mormon Church, could you stand behind the statement that you just read by Brigham Young? And I would almost guarantee you that if he was to be candid with me, he would say yes. You know why, folks? Because polygamy is not a dead issue.
No.
It is believed in Mormon theology that it will go on in the next life. It is the order of heaven. God, it was taught, is a practicing polygamist, and that was the order that they were emulating. So when Brigham Young makes this statement here that the Lord's servants have always practiced it, and is that religion popular in heaven? It is the only popular religion there.
Well, and look at how many Latter-day Saints believe that it's going to happen, so much so that they get sealed, men get sealed to more than one woman. If the second woman has not been previously sealed for eternity to another man, he's more than welcome, if his wife dies, to be able to take her on.
Latter-day Saints, go grab your new gospel doctrine manual, Teachings of Presidents of the Church, Joseph Fielding Smith, the manual that you will be studying in 2014. Read it carefully about the marriages of Joseph Fielding Smith, and you will see that he marries three women, and he is married to them in the temple in Salt Lake City. If you go do your homework, you'll find out that those women that he marries were never married or sealed to another man prior to being married to Joseph Fielding Smith. For all intents and purposes, Joseph Fielding Smith will be married in the hereafter, if Mormonism is true, to those three women, at least those three women.
Well, we have current apostles.
Three of them, yeah.
Who also have been married to two women in the temple for eternity.
And Russell M. Nelson, L. Tom Perry, and Dallin Oaks.
And I would suggest, if you're doubting us, go look that one up as well.
You know, a friend of mine who's an ex-Mormon brought that up to his dad about Dallin Oaks. And he said, oh, no, that can't be true. That can't be true. He was only married to her for time. That's not what he said. That's not what Dallin Oaks said. He said that his second wife is going to be his companion in heaven. Well, okay, but wouldn't you assume his first wife, June Dixon, is also going to be his companion in heaven? Of course she would be. So if he says that his second wife, Kristen Maines, is going to be his eternal companion, what about June Dixon? Of course she would be. That's two right there.
And this all, again, goes back to what you said earlier, polygamy is not a dead issue in the Mormon church. Certainly for time, it's a dead issue, but as far as eternity, polygamy still takes place.
It still goes on, but it's been tweaked to where now if you are living with more than one living wife, you would be excommunicated from the church. And you'd also go to jail because that's bigamy, and that's not legal. But now they've kind of tweaked how it's practiced, and now it's okay to be sealed to more than one wife as long as only one of them is still living. We need to bring this out because sometimes I think the Mormon leadership does not tell the whole story on this. And I've got to be honest with you, I get a little bit weary when I hear Mormon apologists trying to tout the party line and really insult my intelligence when they act like, oh, we don't do polygamy anymore. Well, okay, not the way you used to. Maybe I'll give you that. But it's still a doctrine of the Mormon church.
And they have every intention of seeing those wives again as their
wives. Of
course
they do. Of course they do.
It goes on in this essay on LDS.org, and it says, the Book of Mormon identifies one reason for God to command it, to increase the number of children born in the gospel covenant in order to, quote, unquote, raise up seed unto the Lord, Jacob 2:30.
We talk about this in our book, Answering Mormon's Questions. And there is a footnote in this statement that gives a little bit more detail, saying that studies have been made to show that plural wives did not produce as many children during that time period as a wife of a monogamous relationship. So if that's really the case, and we do give the source here in our book, Stanley Ivan states that while polygamy increased the number of children of the men, it did not do the same for the women involved. A count revealed that 3,335 wives of polygamists bore 19,806 children for an average of 5.9 per woman. An equal number of wives of monogamists taken from the same general group bore 26,780 for an average of 8. This suggests the possibility that the overall production of children in Utah may have been less than it would have been without benefit of plurality of wives. And I say to that, why didn't God know that? Why didn't the God of Mormonism know ahead of time? And this is a very good test case, I think. Why wouldn't the God of Mormonism know ahead of time that if the only reason he would allow for plural marriage is to raise up seed, and yet that proves to be a failure, why would he do that?
Yeah.
You would think that the God of Mormonism would have known that ahead of time, but apparently he didn't. But it's great that we have this test case and the statistics to prove that Jacob, too, really is faulty.
Well, and it goes to the originator of polygamy in Mormonism is Joseph Smith. And we bring this out in the same chapter of our book, Answering Mormon's Questions, that the first 9 of the 12 wives of Joseph Smith were married to other men. And so we raise the question in our book, where do we find polygamy as an acceptable practice in Mormon scripture? If plural marriage were allowed to only to increase the population, why is there no evidence of Smith having any children with these women? Some have suggested that Josephine Lyon Fisher, the daughter of Sylvia Sessions, one of Joseph Smith's wives, may have been fathered by Smith. It is possible that Joseph had children by his plural wives, but by no means certain. The data are surprisingly ephemeral.
Well, when you figure that he had at least 33 wives, you would think there would be at least more than one suspected child or offspring from those relationships.
But we go back to the very first sentence of this article, Plural Marriage and Families in Early Utah on LDS.org, and it said the Bible and the Book of Mormon teach that marriage of one man to one woman is God's standard except in specific periods when he declared otherwise. Well, as we said on Tuesday's show, the Bible certainly doesn't teach that. In the Book of Mormon, all it has is Jacob 2 to support this idea. And
other than that, polygamy's condemned.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't justify it from the Book of Mormon. Yeah. You just can't. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I think what this statement really becomes is a kind of damage control, because a lot of this information that we are bringing out is something that the Mormon Church can't control anymore. A lot of people didn't know about a lot of this stuff, but now this information is starting to permeate among the masses, and people are asking questions about this, which is forcing the Mormon Church to come up with some answers on this.
And if you look at Brigham Young's talk, his teaching back in the 1800s, he said that it was the rule rather than the exception to have plural marriages rather than monogamy. And he goes back to the Romans to support this idea. In fact, he says this in Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 128, since the founding of the Roman Empire, monogamy has prevailed more extensively than in times previous to that. The founders of that ancient empire were robbers and woman stealers and made laws favoring monogamy in consequence of the scarcity of women among them. And hence this monogamic system, which now prevails throughout all Christendom and which has been so fruitful a source of prostitution and whoredom throughout all the Christian monogamic cities of the Old and New World. It's interesting how he was able to try to support that through history, that polygamy should be the norm rather than the exception.
But yet we don't find this in the New Testament. I mean, if he's going to make a statement like that, that we're going to blame Rome for us being a monogamous people, we don't see polygamy being encouraged in the New Testament. In fact, you couldn't even hold an office in the church if you were a man who had more than one wife.
And you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7, and Paul very clearly is explaining the relationship of one man and one woman, marriage, and the importance of if your wife left you, you weren't supposed to get remarried. And
if you divorced a woman and you married another, that was considered adultery. Well, wouldn't it mean just the same if you were married to a woman and married another? Of course it would.
Yes.
So obviously that kind of relationship was not something that was condoned in the New Testament. I don't understand Brigham Young's rationale on this. I don't think he really has history behind him to support this. And I certainly can't imagine how any historian would buy his story that it was because of Rome that all of a sudden culture switched into being more monogamous rather than polygamous.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. As with most Christian organizations, Mormonism Research Ministry depends on the generous financial support of friends like you. If you like what we do and how we do it, would you consider helping MRM meet its financial obligations? Merely go to our website, mrm.org. At the right, you'll see a donate button. Click there and follow the instructions. MRM is a Christian nonprofit 501c3 organization, and your gifts are tax deductible. Not only that, they are greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support of this ministry. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the Seven Churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit MRM.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's MRM.org.